Welcome to Word Birds, where you'll hear content conversations directly from the flock. Join Christopher Willis in conversation with content experts and thought leaders as they chat about how to make the most out of your words in business. Here's your host, Chris.
So GoFundMe, you've heard of it. You've heard of it because of the campaigns that they run. You've heard of it because it's been sent to you by friends. You've seen it on social media. GoFundMe is everywhere. They kind of came out of nowhere 8 or 10 years ago and have turned into something global and valuable. Today on Word Birds, we have Brittany Cabrialis, head of social media. Really excited to talk to her today. We're going to be talking about things like the growth of social at GoFundMe, the way that they've grown from hundreds and thousands of followers to hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of followers. We're going to talk about the rise method, how they identify the content that's going to resonate around relatable, intellectually stimulating storytelling and emotional content. We're going to get into a little bit around inclusive language and how that drives engagement for GoFundMe. We're going to talk about what Brittany wishes her CEO knew about her job that would make her job better and make it all more valuable, even more valuable to the company. Welcome to Word Birds, birds of a feather conversation between people that care about words. Let's go get some insight from the flock. Hello, Brittany. Welcome to the show. Excited to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So there's so many things that I want to talk about, but I think in your role as head of social at GoFundMe, you've done things that most of us can only aspire to. You work at a business, one would argue a large enterprise, and you've built a real social following. You've taken it from hundreds and thousands of followers to hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of people following your social accounts. I think as a B2B marketer, that's the goal. Like, that's the vision. I don't know that actually anybody would give that to me as a goal because it seems so impossible, but that's the vision. That's what we all want. I'd love to understand sort of the progression of what you found when you got to the company and what you did to build this level of success that you've attained.
Yeah, I mean, I feel extremely lucky to be where I'm at today. And obviously falling into GoFundMe now over 8 years ago, to just see the growth that we've had as an organization has just been tremendous. I remember when I first started, my mom would ask me, what is this company that you work for? Like, GoFundMe? I don't know what that is. And now I meet someone and I say, work at GoFundMe. And they're like, wow, like, that's really cool. But I'll just say in terms of social and content, I'm extremely fortunate in that GoFundMe and the platform, like, we just have so many stories to tell. One thing we say internally is like, we probably have more content than Netflix does. Like, it's just incredible the amount of stories that we have, and we don't have all the time to tell them, but we do our best to share those, the ones that are trending, the ones that are super relevant, the ones that will warm your heart, even the ones sometimes that are a little heartbreaking or just kind of or like a reflection of what's happening in the world. We have a little bit of it all. So depending on the moment, we have something to pull from.
I mean, it's kind of amazing. GoFundMe gets me every time. I've given money to things that people that I don't know, people that I'll never meet. I mean, there's one that sticks out in my head. It was an older senior citizen woman down on the Cape. I'm in Massachusetts, Cape Cod, just south of here. And she was just looking to stay in her house. And her neighbors built a GoFundMe for her. And it made the local media, at least here. And I mean, not only did she make enough money to stay in her house, I think she qualifies as wealthy now as a result of this. And that's just one story of something that made it beyond your website to the news and then reached out to people all over this area that just for the sake of it gave money. I mean, what an amazing tool that you have to turn something viral.
I absolutely love that you say that. One thing that we want everyone to experience at least once in their life, hopefully more, is that feeling. Internally, we kind of call it the helper's high. That's what some industry insiders have coined for it. And just that, like, that warmth and that happiness that you get from helping someone else. And you could do that every day if you wanted to. And we want everyone to experience that. And at this point, I think, I'm not sure the exact data point, but I think like 1 in 10 people have given to a GoFundMe in America. And that's kind of a small amount when you think about like the amount of people that need help out there, the amount of joy that you could be bringing someone else. So we're just always looking to increase that number.
The fuel that you have to drive that engagement is amazing. So the question is, you've built this community, you've grown this following. What's doing it? I mean, I know the topics help, but what kind of content is really generating the engagement that's leading to this kind of viral growth?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that I try to look for when I'm combing through stories looking for content. And I kind of always rely back on this thing that I read somewhere. I can't remember exactly where I read it from, but it's called like the RISE method, R-I-S-E. And R stands for just relevance. Is it relatable? Does it have context? Will someone be able to read it and understand it? Does it have cultural significance? Is it approachable? Like, I think having all of that tied to a post, tied to a piece of content is very important to make sure that it takes off. Is it intellectually stimulating? Does it provide value? Is the person reading it learning something? Does it make them go, wow? Does it make them stop and go, I didn't know that. I want to share that. I want to like that. S is just, I think, storytelling. Is it authentic to your brand and what you want people to take away from the content? My CMO, Musa, always talks about bricks. Content is bricks. So you can put a content brick here and a content brick there. But what you really want to do is you want to stack the bricks so that they're all leading to something bigger. And then the last one is emotion. And does it make someone feel something? It can make them feel inspired. It can make them feel in awe. It can make them feel surprised, loved, whatever you want to make it. But just something that feels memorable and creates that deeper connection to your brand. So that's RISE, R-I-S-E. And I don't think it has to be all four of those. But I think if it can have at least one of those, two of those, I think the more the better. I think that you're probably going to have a better piece of performing content. And so when I'm looking for content for GoFundMe, I'm trying to find pieces of that. What's going on in the world right now? How can we tie that to a fundraiser that someone can support related to that? So for instance, a couple months ago, there was like a big milk shortage that was happening. I don't know if you remember that, but finding a GoFundMe that you can support to help provide baby formula to mothers around the country who can't access it because of where they are or they can't afford it. And so finding those moments in culture that are happening and tying them back to ways that you can actually do something to help.
There is no shortage of purposes right now, probably more than we need out there, keeping people busy on this. I love the idea of this. And I think just sitting here, I'm trying to think in my own business how I would overlay this RISE method over the content that we're creating. And I think any business can find a pathway with this particular approach. It just takes creativity. And it's not, I mean, okay, so you're selling semiconductors. What do you do that's relatable or emotional? I'll bet you can find something. And that's the difference between posting product information and hoping that people click on it, because heads up, social people, they're not gonna, versus being a storyteller and tying the things back, for instance, the results of your product or your service that impact an individual or people, to try and tell a better story, a story that people care about. And like you said, intellectually stimulating enough to want to share. I want to show people that I saw this and I want them to see this. And that's how this all is supposed to come together. I mean, again, this is the goal. Just on this podcast, we have an objective of a number of subscribers. It's not what yours are. It's a number far smaller. I mean, that's how all this starts. And maybe someday people listening to this will be in the millions. We can only hope. I think as a socially aware business like GoFundMe, as you're creating your content, I think a big thing, hot topic today, is inclusive language. Problem, it changes rapidly. How are you dealing with that? How are you making sure that the content that you're creating isn't, I mean, for instance, off-putting to the audience that you're creating it for?
I think there's a couple things that we can do. And the first is just like listening to your community. How is your community talking about this thing? What do they call themselves? How do they describe this thing? I think that you can take a lot of inspiration from just how people that are within that community talking about themselves. And the second thing we try to do is, as a team, social team, copywriting team, brand strategy team, we try to be very aware of asset framing. And we actually had a talk about this internally very, very recently, because it's good just to remind yourself every so often about this. But like, the way that you structure sentences or describe people can either be asset framed or deficit framed. And we never want to put someone or describe someone in a deficit framed situation. So a very basic intro to this would be describing someone as a homeless person versus a person experiencing homelessness. Homelessness should never be the deciding trait of this person. It's just something that they happen to be going through right now, and it doesn't define them. So that's definitely something we always try to keep top of mind as we're writing copy, sharing content, et cetera.
Why are we so afraid of contractions at this company? Hasn't, wasn't, isn't, doesn't, shouldn't? We're not writing academic essays here, people.
This employee is disgruntled. They're disgruntled because their company's content creators aren't aligned. They need Acrolinks, the content platform that ensures effortless alignment across every team. Consistency in tone, inclusive language, scannability, and more. No matter what kind of content you're creating, we've got you covered.
And it's interesting because it doesn't necessarily jump out at you as you're creating content. And in some cases, in inclusive language management, there are things that we say every day that we've said our entire lives without knowing that they're damaging. So for us, at least, it's not enough for us to point out the issue. It's explaining the issue. Because if you just say, don't say it, okay, I won't say it. It doesn't necessarily make me a better person. It doesn't open my mind at all. It just says, don't say it. It's sort of like saying, don't walk into the wall. I'm not gonna.
There's a big moment happening in culture right now with also just being able to stand up and saying like, hey, like we messed up. I said this and I shouldn't have, and I learned about it and I'm more educated now than I was when I wrote this. Mm-hmm. I mean, like with Lizzo and what happened with her lyrics, and I can't remember the other artist that happened. Like
it's Beyonce.
Beyonce, yeah. Like it's just standing up, taking accountability and learning and moving forward from that and just knowing that we're sorry we did this. It won't happen again.
Just people and picked it up. So guiding people to say, if I don't want you to say this, this is why, and this is good potential opportunity to change. I mean, that changes the whole dynamic. And it actually isn't just content governance anymore. It's education. It's mind expansion around sensitive topics that should, in the end, make people better. And it's happening in our content organizations. And it's broadening out across businesses because content governance is a thing in many cases. And once you find it once, you try and get everybody to on board. And if I can educate at the same time, I mean, the one that always comes back is something about the peanut gallery. And what's the problem with that? Well, there is one. And let's explain what the problem is. It's the cheap area of the theater that people were relegated to. And so you think it's nothing and you think it's a thing that your mom said when you were a kid, which to be fair, probably is. But none of you knew where it was coming from in the 1940s. And so this is why. So now you have a choice. You can continue to say it, knowing full well why it's damaging, or you cannot. And that's the way that this moves forward. We've spent a lot of time over the pandemic period, not just building software around inclusive language, but thinking about how to implement all of this software or no in the enterprise so that businesses can be better. Because this isn't just something that you see on social. It's something that goes well beyond marketing content into every part of the business. I mean, it's in code. I mean, inside the source code of the software that everybody uses, there's problematic language. And it wasn't put there to be damaging. It wasn't put there to be hurtful. It's just how software development started. And so being able to go in and manage this across the business has become a really big deal. So yeah, I mean, I think that that's critical to what you're doing, obviously, because you're building this community of people that want to feel included, that want to feel good when they interact with you. And I think that becomes really important. A question that I like to ask is, so you're a person that works at a company. You probably report to somebody that reports to the CEO, a big, valuable business. What do you want? What would you want your CEO to know about what you do that would make it better for you doing what you do and would make it better for the company if that person knew?
Wow. That is the question, isn't it? I think that what's unique about working in social is that everyone is on social media, right? Everyone thinks that they know what's best. Everyone takes it in every day and they're like, here's what I think you should do because I saw this, or my cousin is doing this, so I think we should try this. Everyone has an opinion. And I think that if more people realize just how nuanced working in social is, I think that there would just be so much more respect for the amount of work and research and just the time it takes to really get to a place where you can work this as a full-time job. So I feel like I would just want to voice to my CEO that it's not as easy as it appears. And every time someone engages with one of our posts, it's a one-on-one interaction that we're creating and that is important. It matters. Every one-on-one interaction is meaningful and it matters to the brand, and how we phrase something matters. The photo that we use matters. The way that it's viewed in a feed matters. And so I think that I would just say that it's a lot more difficult than one would think.
So that, oh, my kid's on Facebook. Maybe you could have them work for you.
That's exactly. Ongoing joke that we're all interns.
That's a cute joke. I'll bet you enjoy that after 8 years of building success inside the business and actually driving the value of the business based on the community that you've generated. Yeah. Interns, kids playing on Facebook. And I mean, I think that's, I mean, what you're speaking to is the overall strategy of social and business. And the reason that companies are willing to spend money on this, it's not just putting up cool headlines and reprints of your press release. It's a cadence of planned content to drive awareness and engagement and community. It's more than I think people think it is. And I think that's a great message for any CEO out there. I mean, salespeople, sales management. I know how to market. I'm kind of a marketer myself. Oh, are you? Neat. Cool. Different than that. And putting that strategy work in place that drives real success. I have to imagine that your CEO probably knows that you're doing quite well based on the size of your community. Last thing, example of something that you're really proud of recently. What's a campaign or an outreach that you've done that you think is just awesome?
Yeah, I feel like I would have to say we did a Stop Asian Hate campaign last year. And it was just one of the most fun and rewarding things to work on. And we approached this campaign in a different way than we ever had done anything else in GoFundMe's history, in that we contacted like several very influential people within the Asian American space, actors, designers, fashion people. And we got them on a call and we were just like, what needs to happen right now? What do you think needs to happen? And how can GoFundMe support that? And I think that just allowed us to create the framework for like a very well-built and thought-out campaign. We launched and it was shared by dozens and dozens and dozens of celebrities and musicians and just people that we didn't even contact or work with, but just because they wanted to be a part of something bigger than themselves. That campaign went on to raise, I think, like several million dollars. It's probably close to 8 or 9 now. And just to see that the impact we were able to make, that was just like one of the most rewarding things to me. It was amazing to work on. And then another, just like a fun one, we had a single post that we did for last Giving Tuesday. And for those who don't know Giving Tuesday, it's like the biggest day of philanthropy in the world. It comes after Black Friday and all of those holidays where people are just spending money on themselves. And it's encouraging a day of just giving back and giving to a charity. And last year we did a choose your own adventure style tweet, which was really fun and interactive. So you could like click through the tweet and go down different rabbit holes of what we thought you should give to based on your answers to specific questions. And that one was just so fun to work on. And it really resonated with not only like other social people that I know, but just random people who follow us. And they were like, this is amazing. Like, we need more of this. Even though the Giving Tuesday account commented on it and said that they loved it. So that was super fun to work on.
So I feel like I'm learning things. This is, that's a really neat idea. And it's technically not difficult. It's just, again, back to that strategy of knowing what you want to do, how you want this to play out, where you want people to end up. Just a remarkable approach towards a thing that, again, everybody thinks they know how to do, but only some people are doing really well. Very excited about the things that we've talked about. If people are watching this, I assume the best way to get through to you is probably LinkedIn. You're on LinkedIn?
I'm on LinkedIn. I don't know if you'll be linking to it, but I can share that with you. And then I'm also pretty active on Twitter. You can follow me at Brit, B-R-I-T underscore cab, C-A-B.
Fantastic. Brittany, thank you so much for being on the show. I think people are going to get a lot of value out of this. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. It was so much fun.
Great.
Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to join us next time for more insights from people who love words. This podcast was brought to you by AcroLinks. Continue honing your enterprise content by checking out other episodes at acrolinks.com/wordbirds. If you have questions or comments, feel free to get in touch with Chris and his team by sending a message to word.birds@acrolinks.com. That's all for now. See you next time.